Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Batch Report.
And we have a very special episode indeed today. Today we are doing two episodes.
I know, this was a crazy week because they had a one-on-one, they had a cocktail party, they had a rose ceremony, they had the men tell all, and then they had all of the hometowns this week too. So it was like a really packed full week. Like, they packed what we would normally see in like 4 weeks into two episodes back to back.
Yeah. So this episode starts off with Chris Harrison's return.
Yeah. So he comes back and we find out that Blake is going on the first one-on-one date.
Which at this point, I'm like, Blake, my man.
It is so late in the season. It is
so late in the game to be getting a date. But I feel like Tasia is, she needs to try to like work out where Blake fits.
Yeah. Because I think she enjoys Blake a lot as a person, but not necessarily chemistry-wise. So they go to like this Reiki healer.
What did you think? What do you think about Reiki healers?
So your mom does Reiki.
I know.
And I actually have a friend who does Reiki as well. I think normally they're like really cool. The lady they had on there seemed like she was almost like putting on a bit. Like the hair, like the outfit, like it all just seemed like phony to me. Like, sure, she was playing up a specific role.
Yeah.
Versus just like most Reiki healers are really normal.
Also, I don't think the role of a Reiki person is to give you answers per se, but just kind of like do readings.
Yeah. And it's not just like, oh, like, let's, like,
you need to just do this to make your relationship work better. I don't think that's the role of
a Reiki. She was like, oh, you pulled a red rock and you pulled a blue rock. Therefore, you need to work on your communication in your relationship.
Honestly, though, like, it was a pretty fun date as far as like circumstances go.
But then they were like doing tantric breathing exercises. And she, at the end of it, was basically like, I don't feel a connection. And while she's saying that she doesn't feel a connection, he's like on the other camera being like, oh, I'm ready to take her home to meet my family. And she ends up sending him home because she's like, I just can't get there.
As soon as she said she wasn't feeling it, I'm like, goodbye, Blake.
And she was like sobbing because she's like, he's such a good guy and I'm sending him home. But it's like, there was no way Blake was winning in the end.
Yeah.
No possible way. So
the first thing Tasia does when she gets back to the main part of the resort is she pulls Riley aside.
Yeah, because now it's time for the cocktail party. Right at the beginning of the cocktail party, she pulls him aside and is like, you're amazing. You're going to make an awesome husband and father.
But we don't have a connection.
Like, is basically what she says. I can't bring you along and meet your family when I know that we're not the right people.
She's basically like, we have not built a strong enough connection that I feel like we can.
Well, and Riley never went on a one-on-one date. How in the world was she going to meet his family without them being on a one-on-one date?
So Tasia's just like whack-a-mole. She's sending guys home left and right, not even waiting for the rose ceremony.
But then Bennett rolls in.
Bennett walks in and everyone's like, what?
And Noah's like, ah, oh, he's back. I hate it. And then Tasia's like, I'm calling off the cocktail party. Oh, because I guess Riley was pre-cocktail party.
Yeah. She's just whack-a-mole. Because she just
called it off.
Yep.
And then
she just calls it off. She knows what she wants to do.
So then the rose ceremony starts. Ben already had a rose. And then she gives the first rose to Zach, then Ivan, then Brendan. So we say goodbye to Bennett again and to Noah, which is honestly no surprise.
I'm not really surprised. And the thing is I feel like if Bennett didn't have that weird feud with Noah, he may have done better.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it didn't do Noah any justice to do that either. But you know, they just decided to play that game and it didn't pan out for him in the end.
Yeah, so then it went straight from that into an intimate and riveting men tell all episode, which was weird because there was no audience and half the guys weren't even there.
I thought it was kind of actually interesting because, well, we will get to it. At the end of the men tell all, they have Yosef come in. But first, I want to cover a few things before Yosef comes.
Yeah, Ed was still bashing on Chasen.
I know, and I'm like, that happened like so long ago.
And then Noah versus Bennett was still going on. And he's like, he's not clueless. He knows what he's doing. It's so juvenile. Like, they were just going back and forth. And then, of course, the other guys got involved. Kenny was pro Bennett, and then Damar was like, I'm going to side with Noah on this one because I heard him say a lot of really condescending things to the younger people in the house.
Like, do you think, so Kenny says that Noah was being a little B word. Do you think that that was like appropriate to say to him?
You know what? After the Mentel All, I went and looked at some of these guys' like Instagram stories.
Yeah.
Because we obviously follow them all. And Kenny actually even follows back, you know. Ooh. But I clicked on Kenny's page, and he and Ed were sitting at the same couch for the Mentel All.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, from what I can tell, it was their goal to say like the most outrageous things and to get as much like funny airtime like as possible, or like not funny, but they like purposely were trying to stir up drama at the Mentel All.
Oh yeah,
as like a fun thing to do.
That's fun.
So I think Kitty saying that was just kind of for the shock factor, because yeah, they're like, we got no airtime all season aside from like,
yeah,
Ed kind of arguing and showing true up at Chris Harrison's place, and I think they were there for a good time, and if they could get people riled up,
so
they were gonna do it.
What happens next is kind of funny for me, because I feel like I got more of an idea of who Blake is than I did the whole seasons thus far.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they just show a bunch of blooper clips, if you want to call them that, of his dates and just stuff that happened around the house. But they show like Blake waxing Kenny's junk.
They also show Blake on that Reiki date,
yeah,
got a boner.
So you like learn like a lot of stuff that like really puts into perspective the type of personality Blake is.
Because I know earlier in this season they're like, oh, Blake is always talking about sex. And I'm like, I haven't seen that part of his personality at all. I don't know what they're talking about. Because he did make the penis sculpture out of clay for the thing.
But I thought that was just a fun thing.
And everyone was like, oh, that's so in character for Blake. And I was like, is it in character for Blake? Like, I don't know.
I just thought Blake was being kind of like the whole, after Claire left, he was just kind of like moping a lot. So I thought that was just going to be, I thought that's basically who he was, like a person who'd come for Claire and then didn't get what he wanted, so he just moped. But it turns out he was having like a lot of fun time with the bros in the house.
I think he was just a fun, goofy guy. And,
yeah.
You know?
But I definitely didn't see that connection that Tayshia and him had.
Yeah, so then Yosef comes out. Everyone still hates Yosef, basically, is what we
learned. Well, Yosef, this guy, the audacity. he basically comes out and they confront him about how he handled the whole Claire thing with the male dodgeball strip.
Like the strip dodgeball, yeah.
And he was just like, they replayed it and I was like, oh, that looks awful. Like, not good on you, bro. And he basically defended himself by saying that, well, what do you think? How did he defend himself?
I honestly, like, have to tune out everything Yosef says when he talks, because, like, my blood boils every time he opens his mouth. And I literally blacked out as he was talking.
Oh, gosh.
Because I just, like, literally...
That's awful.
Like, he annoys me so badly that I can't even, like, process the words coming out of his mouth.
Well, okay, so basically he just says that it's completely inappropriate. But the whole thing is that Claire didn't set the date up. So, like, him coming down on Claire doesn't even really make
sense.
Like,
he should have been mad at production. And two, the way he handled it by calling her old and saying that she had horrible judgment and was a horrible person. Like,
all the other guys are just like, you're an awful person. And then I think Chris Harrison kind of said it the best. He was basically like, you know, how you treated Claire was not a good look.
Yeah.
And we're trying to help you here. But if you want to keep doing that,
like, we're trying to give you a chance to explain yourself and like
clear your name a little bit. Say sorry if you have to, or whatever it is that you need to do to get through. And he just kind of blew it, you know?
Yeah.
So moving on, Tayshia finally comes out. This kind of confused me a little bit.
Why?
Because it feels like Tayshia shouldn't show her face until after the whole thing.
Oh, they always do this on the Mentel All, though.
Oh, okay.
The person always comes out, but it's usually the last two that aren't there, but because of how this week worked out, it was the last four that weren't there. But she does come out, and she talks to Blake about why she sent him home and why she was crying. And then Blake was like, I always felt like it was just the wrong timing for us. And like, we started off so much slower than everyone else because like I was still getting over Claire at the beginning.
Yeah.
And do you feel like if the timing was different that we would have been together? And she was like, no, timing wasn't the only issue.
Yeah.
And then Riley basically breaks down and he's like, oh, if I had like opened up more about this sooner, would it have made a difference? And then she's like, no.
Yeah.
Like, how to do both you feel of them, about her like,
kind of like, how do you think that was like,
I think it was good. I actually of her. Think
it looks good on her.
I think it's good for her to be like, you know what? Was that one of the factors? Yes. Was that the only factor? No. Like, yeah. Even if you had opened up, even if like we had progressed slightly faster, like the connection just wasn't
it the wasn't same. As strong as some of the other guys. Another person that she kind of has to go over is Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
And they show the clip of him saying basically that he loves her. And she basically responded to that. And she just said she didn't find or feel like they were there yet.
Like,
and he said it, but she was like shocked. And she had to like give him the benefit of the doubt kind of thing.
And she was like,
but she didn't feel like they were there yet.
And she was like, she respected him for saying it.
Yeah.
But that she wasn't there. So she didn't want to be like, oh, you said you love me and I'm just going to send you home immediately again.
Yeah.
She was like, let's sleep on it. And like,
Tasia's answers are really thoughtful.
Mm-hmm. And I thought I was going to hate Tasia as a bachelorette. And I actually really enjoy her. I didn't think
I was going to hate her, but we saw her on Paradise.
And I didn't like the way she handled herself on Paradise necessarily.
Yeah.
But I really like the way she's handled herself.
Yeah. Now that she has a little bit of more control, she's really coming off as like an awesome human being. Okay, so
I'm gonna talk about our sponsor for a quick sec, because we all shop online and we've all seen that promo code field taunt us at checkout, but thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one to add to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. They range from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you go to checkout, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click apply coupons, wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons, and it just automatically puts them on your order. So, like, I went and got hiking boots and hiking poles. I used Honey. It ran its little coupon code thing and I ended up saving $70-something, and it took me no time, no effort, just a click of a button. So that's something I've been really excited about when I do my online shopping. And Honey has found its over 17 million members have saved over $2 billion in savings, which is insane. And if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you're doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/batchreport. That's joinhoney.com/batchreport.
All right, check out Honey.
Oh, hometowns.
Hometowns.
Hometowns, which is weird. This is the weirdest hometowns because they don't actually go to any hometowns.
So you don't necessarily get to see a side of each person that you normally would.
Like, normally I would be like, man, we didn't get to see Bennett's hometown. I want to see where he lives. I want to see what he does. I want to see the places he goes to.
See his father, you know?
Like,
see if they have the same mannerisms.
Well, I mean, we do get to see the people's families for hometowns, but you don't see, like, where they grew up. You don't see, like, oh, this is my favorite pub I go to every weekend.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to see, like, the full...
The dates are just lackluster, and, you know, seeing their family...
Is interesting.
Is very interesting, yet it's not...
The same as a normal
as fulfilling as it would be if they were in their own comfort in-house.
So, this starts off with Brendan, and he, like, put together, like, this little carnival... Because I guess in his hometown, they do lots of fairs. They do lots of carnivals. And then his niece, like, runs out, Aaliyah. And it's kind of cheesy, but they play some carnival games. They dance. They, like, get into a jump house. And then after that, they see his brother, the niece still, and then his sister-in-law. And they kind of, like, get to the nitty-gritty of asking, Is Tasia ready for a new relationship? Is Brennan ready for this relationship? Because they're both recently divorced.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts about that?
I actually liked seeing Brendan with his niece and like that relationship because I love my niece. So it's always like, it's nice to see like a more human side of these people. And I feel like that's the first time I've actually seen him like really excited about something.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm not sure if he's actually ready. I know his brother was like, oh yeah, Brendan like is smiling. He's so ready for this. But there's a part of me that feels like Brendan isn't ready for this.
Well, Brendan ends up crying when he's talking to his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Brendan is just a very emotional person.
Which I like, but it's
there are things I really like about Brendan, and there's things that I question.
Like, there's things I like about Brendan, but I feel like between him and Tasia, there's something missing, and I can't place my finger on it. Yeah. But I feel like there's just something that's not there.
Honestly, I could say that about any of the guys at this point in the shindig.
I do have a favorite that we'll get to in a bit.
The carnival just did not. I thought it was lackluster.
But it was kind of fun. There was really no way for him to make that.
Yeah, it's just hard. More exciting. That's hard.
But the next date was Zach, who is my least favorite of the guys remaining. He's from New York, I believe, right? It was New York.
Yeah.
And they like hail a fake taxi. They go to the bagel shop. He was like really offended by the fact that she wanted to put blueberries on her bagel.
This was actually a really cool date.
They make out in a fountain. Like, this one was more of, like, a story. Kind of like, oh, we're going to hail a cab. Go get breakfast at the little, like, corner thing.
It was a charming date.
But I still don't like him.
Yeah, I still, you know, I'm on the fence about
Zach. His parents and brother were there. And I wrote that I thought his parents were very sweet.
Okay, well, let me share. I like his parents. I do like his. They were very smitten with Tasia.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to share why I have reservations about Zach.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole, it didn't really bother me too much. Like, I was just not very paying very much attention to Zach most of the season. And then he had the lie detector. And he said, yes, he had cheated. And then he went and told Tasia that he had cheated, like, when he was 6 years old or something. And it felt to me like he was covering up.
Like,
right? Like, that put red flags in my mind. Because I'm like, you didn't think that you could get away lying to the lying machine. So you fabricated a story. And that story may have been true. But it sounds like a cover-up to me. But
you were addicted to drugs while you were married and going out to clubs and parties Correct. Every night. And you're telling me you didn't cheat on your wife during that point in time?
Correct. It sounds like... And the thing is Tasia, that's a rule. That's a break for her.
Yeah.
So... And she says that to him. She says, you know, cheating is...
Like a no-tolerance off the table. Thing.
No tolerance. Zero tolerance. So when he did that, that was kind of like, to me, he had... beat the lie detector, you know, at that point, which is not really, it's like kind of dishonest, I guess, but she's also being very like gullible.
He reminds me of Jed a little bit in the fact that, remember, once the season ended, you find out that Jed had a girlfriend back home and like all these things. Yeah. And it's like, Zach has all those same kind of red flags where you're like, there's parts of the story that aren't being shared.
Correct. And then when you see his family, it kind of solidified that a little bit. Like, for instance, I don't want to make any assumptions, mm-hmm. but his mother does seem like she is loose with the alcohol, maybe. And her father is like beet red face. So I don't know if they've been drinking a lot.
I don't know if it was that they were drinking.
Or if it was just so hot.
I think it was so hot because every single one of these dates, the people are like dripping in sweat.
Yeah. So
it's hard. Like, I would be flushed and like.
Yeah. Warm. I don't want to make any assumptions. His family loves him.
I thought they were really sweet people.
Really sweet family.
And I do like that they were like, everyone deserves to be loved and to find love. And I was like, that's nice. But like, also, like, she's a catch. So, of course, she's going to find love again. But yeah. Then let's move on to my favorite of the episode, which was Ivan. And he has, like, his niece Kalani send in, like, this video of, like, how to make lumpia. And then they make lumpia together.
Which is super awesome.
I love lumpia. And I like that it was his niece that sent the video of how to do it. And then they're both half Filipino and half Black. So they both have that in common.
Yeah.
And I think she was like, wow, he actually, like, brought a slice of home into this experience. And, like, this is something we would probably do.
Yeah.
Every so often. Like, we'd be at home and we'd make lumpia together.
The thing with Ivan is there's some things that I really, really appreciate about him.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some things that I'm just like, need a little work, you know? Kind of like, well, I'll talk about more about the things that I think he needs work with, because it really comes into the way he interacts with his family and brother and whatnot. So what else do they do?
They kissed a lot.
They kissed a lot.
And then his parents are there, but then his brother and niece aren't there. So he's like, oh, this is like bittersweet, because I'd love if my brother and my niece were here. But I am really glad my parents are here.
Which his parents seem on the fence about Tasia, in my opinion. From my perspective, if you will.
Which I thought it was funny, because his mom was wearing an almost matching dress to Tasia's.
Yeah.
Like, it actually was the same material, but one was red and one was orange.
Yeah, that was fun. And his mom is basically kind of questioning Tasia. Is she ready?
She was definitely the most skeptical of the parents that we saw this episode.
Which kind of a little bit of a charm, I thought, to
Ivan's
character. And the father was also very skeptical. Mm-hmm. You know, he's basically said, you know, I had a wife, wasn't ready. And then I had my second wife. I knew I was ready, you know. And his dad was like 80 or something.
Or I think he's in his 70s. But
so
yeah.
He's old. He's on the older side. So that is one thing that I don't necessarily like about Ivan, is that he always like looks up to his father. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, he's so wise. I got all my wisdom from my father. And to me, it's like, well, yeah, you can get your wisdom from your father, but it's not because he's old. Mm-hmm. You know, like if he was a little bit younger, you'd still be getting wisdom from him. So that was one of the things that kind of bugged me. And then the second thing would be about his brother who walks in.
Yes. So they're like, surprise, like Ivan's brother's here. And Ivan was like, I actually felt like Ivan like loves his brother and wanted to see his brother, but it also made him feel insecure.
And that's what bothered me, is that like,
you could feel the insecurity.
Yeah. And he was always like talking about, oh, I always help my brother. Mm-hmm. But it didn't feel that way, really. Like, it felt like,
I think he
was almost ashamed of his brother. And to me, that's just like, you know, how can you say
all those things? I don't think he was ashamed. Like, I think he was excited for them to meet, but at the same time was like, is she going to be judging me because of his past? And I mean, I think that's like, valid.
I don't know.
But
like, if it's kind of like not thinking very highly of her, though, because it's like they're different people, you know?
Mm. So one thing I thought was really interesting is after Brendan's date, she said, it feels like game over in a sense. Like, I just had a great date with my husband. And then after Zach's date, she said that I'm really falling in love with Zach. Right. And then at the end of Ivan's date, she said, I felt really special and included. I'm the happiest person in the world right now.
Yeah.
Or actually, it was Ivan who said he was the happiest person in the world. But she was basically like, I feel like I just met my future family and I was so happy to be included in this family.
Yeah.
And like, she loved his family dynamic.
I actually liked Ivan's brother. I know he obviously
looked... I actually like it because he's
authentic. Real. He's like real and authentic. Yeah.
Versus like, I feel like sometimes people on the show only invite family or friends that like help them look a certain way.
Yes. Which we will find in Ben's family.
So Ben lives in Venice, California. So they go rollerblading, which is totally Venice.
Yeah.
And then they go to a juice bar and they do like a little boardwalk shop where they try on glasses and like hats. And then they hang out by the pool. And his parents were not there, but he did have a family friend and his sister. Which I was excited to see his sister because he has talked about her so much throughout the season. But I would have loved, instead of the family friend, to at least have one of his parents there.
Yeah, I actually wrote, when I wrote down family friend, I wrote red flags. Because mm-hmm. to me, it's like, well, it doesn't make sense to necessarily have a family friend. Because...
like, why don't you just have your sister?
It's like a radical dynamic a little bit. Yeah, just have your sister, exactly.
Well, and then a part of me was like, well, does this family friend like secretly have a crush on him?
That's what I was getting to.
What I thought at the beginning, but the more I saw her like talk to him and she was like, I'm so happy you found someone who's made you so happy. Like, she did seem genuinely excited for him.
Yeah.
But at the very beginning of the date, there were like that awkward
undertones and whatnot.
Undertones there. And yeah. I was like, this is weird. But his sister's basically like, he's not hiding anything.
But then she also kind of said that he was hiding something strangely. Like, she first said that he was really reserved, and then she flip-flopped and said, oh, he doesn't hide anything. And to me, it's like, how can you be reserved and not hide anything? Right?
Yeah.
And he was in the military. He had a huge issue, it sounds like, the point that his family didn't even show up or didn't feel the need to. Well, it's also COVID, so I don't know what dynamic is there.
Well, that's why he said they weren't there, is because yeah. they didn't want to travel during COVID, because his father's a doctor.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So, that's one thing, but I wish they had had his parents video call in.
Like Zoom or something. Yeah, that would have been.
And, like, talk to her on video and be like, hi, we're nice. So sorry we couldn't see you, but, yeah. like, we wanted to chat for a few minutes. Like, yeah. I feel like they could have done that, and it would have worked
I think really so, too. Well.
And I feel like...
the lack of effort is basically yeah. what I see there.
So basically, he's like, I've never been happier in my life. I really am falling for her.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't tell her any of those things.
And this is also kind of a red flag that sparked for me. So he's chatting with the family friend.
Mm-hmm.
And she's basically like, how do you feel? And he's like, I don't know. And she's like, do you love him? And he basically says, I don't know. And she's like, yeah, you love him. So she like kind of pushed him mm-hmm. in that direction. And then yeah. she's like, you need to tell her how you feel, that you love her. And he's like, I love her. You know, so he mm-hmm. she kind of like manipulated him into like walking off an edge or something.
But then the end of this date was super weird because they just like kiss or whatever. And he's like, okay, I guess that's it. Bye.
I have to see you walk away. And she's like, is there something you want to tell me?
Or like say or like.
Yeah. And he's just like.
Bye.
No, there's nothing I want to tell you. And it's like, you have to tell her how you feel. And then, your family friend kind of sabotaged you because she didn't, like, help you work into
it. And then, like, Tasia walks away and he's like, my brain didn't work.
Yeah.
And it was just like... But I honestly feel like Ben likes Tasia, but I feel like he feels like there's something missing in their connection at this point as well.
Yeah, I think he does
too. And he's like, I could probably get there. But I don't think he feels as far along as some of these other guys do.
I don't think he does either.
And we see that at the rose ceremony because she gives Ivan the first rose, then we see Zach, and then we see Brendan, and she lets Ben go, which breaks my heart because I love Ben as like a human being on this show.
Yeah.
But I knew as soon as we watched those hometowns that
he was so lacking at the end. Yeah.
He just wasn't going to make it. I honestly wish it was Zach that went home at this point in time. But...
yeah.
I don't think she wanted to bring Ben along to the fantasy suites knowing that he is more, like, emotional than Zach.
Yeah.
Like, she knows, like, Brendan is sensitive, but he's still very, like, I don't want
to
say stable.
I don't know what you're trying
Ben's
to say.
Ben's not unstable,
so,
but I'm saying,
you
like...
know, get it out and let's
like,
move forward.
Like, Brendan is sensitive, but he isn't going to be quite... as upset in like a depressive state as Ben maybe if like they sleep together and then she's like, oh, we slept together and now I don't want to be with you.
I actually didn't feel any of that. She actually says why she got rid of Ben. She says, she doesn't say it to him, but she basically says, you know, after he's gone, that she felt like she had to pull everything out of him.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't sharing anything willingly. She was having to do the work and like pull and
which,
like it was a grind and like ugh,
which I don't know how much I believe that because he did open up about his eating disorder and his depression.
I think he did that though because he felt like
with,
he had to.
I don't think so.
Well, we can agree to disagree on that one.
I don't believe so, but next week is the finale, and we cannot wait.
We cannot wait for the finale. And let's see what happens. All right. Bye.